Hey, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's been a while. I've been really sick. I've had a really bad health year. I went from gout and then from to get a crown that they kind of messed up the crown, at least the temporary crown, and I was in teeth pain. And then I have a really bad cold, and it's taken me. God, it's been since the new year. So, the first week of the new year, I had teeth pain, and then that lasted about 2 weeks, and then I started to feel better. And then I got really sick. And I thought I was going to be a mild cold. It started off with a cough, which is weird. And then it turned into, runny nose and stuff. And then, on day four of the cold, this is what's really weird, is I had a fever, really bad fever on a Friday. It was like a Friday night. I worked that day till 3, and then I couldn't take it anymore. I told my boss I gotta go home, and I was in cold sweat, and for almost 24 hours. It was weird, but now I am somewhat better. But if I sound nasally or if I cough, I apologize in advance. I will try to edit out any huge spikes so I don't blow out your eardrum. But I thought I would record a quick one. Well, actually, nothing's ever quick with me. So, welcome back. And I actually didn't do one for a week and a half, an episode. But it was a unique day yesterday, so I came home. Well, we knew that we're getting some packages in the mail this week, and they all arrived on the same day. So I had a package from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit because he knew that I was having difficulty getting Superman number 700-page giant from Walmart. Most of it's because of the controversy. Because of violence towards Lois Lane in a dream sequence. But somebody snagged them all up at Walmart's, and it's actually listed on the speculative site as the number one book this week. So that doesn't help because speculators see that, grab more. And but anyway, Drew helped me out. I told him my situation. I was frustrated, and he said, "Hey, I'll hook you up." So I was really appreciative. So that arrived. I had then placed an order from Aaron Myers on I don't know a handful of books, but a lot of them were key X-Men books. I'll talk about them as I go through the list. So there was that package. I had gotten a Kickstarter in the mail this week. Also got a Advanced Comics. God, I really want to talk about that. I don't know if I'm gonna get into it in this episode, but I was on Twitter earlier in the week when I was sick. Or maybe it was early last week, or late last week. Sorry, late last week. And I was just thinking about, the distributor wars, and I was like, man, I have previews magazines and Wizard, but I don't have any Capital City comic magazines. And I tweeted out a message because I had forgotten what the name of the title was. I couldn't Google it right because I was looking for on eBay Capital City catalog, comics catalog. I forgot that it was called Advanced Comics. But thanks to Kirk, he set me straight and he said it's Advanced Comics and here's a place where you can get it. And I'm gonna have to pause for the cause because I'm gonna start coughing again. So Kirk hooked me up, said, "Hey, Advanced Comics." He's had a link to a particular issue, and that same day, I didn't order the one that he had sent me a link to because it was like $20, or I can't remember what it was. But I found some for reasonable, like $6 and $5 or something like that, and they were sealed. So I was like, that's cool, because Advance Comics used to put in cards and like card promos and all kinds of various things in their catalogs, and you can save them. And I saved most of them throughout the years. But I was able to get two copies of Advance Comics, and I was blown away because it was before the distributor wars, and Capital City had pretty much everything. They had Marvel, they had DC, and it's 1994. Big year. Image was there. They had all the big ones, Ultraverse, Triumphant. I mean, I gotta go over this catalog with you so I could share you what a wonderful thing the catalog was. So much history there. Absolutely loved it. Valiant was in top form. So many different companies. It was a time to be excited about comics because there was a lot of comics and there was a lot of black and white comics. There was a couple of things that I noted as I was going through and say, hey, maybe these are some back issue comics I didn't know to get. But it did also bring to my attention that during those years, I was collecting two comics and they're dead universes, but I want to get back into them and finish them because I've been big into collecting dead universes. And one is Lightning Comics and the other one's Dagger. And then there's the Peter Laird Next Comics. I have issues here and there, but I never at that particular time was getting them like all of them. And I'd like to complete those dead universes. I think it's important. I'm almost done with my Atlas one, and I finally did track down a copy of Gothic Romances, which is like one of the last comics that I need to find. But it was CGC graded at like a, God, I can't remember if it was an 8.5 or a 9.0, and it was a buy me now for a thousand and something. And I was like, that is a lot for this rare romance magazine. But I guess if it's going to be that high, what I'm looking for is a maybe an upper G slash VG type book, something in a couple hundred that I can buy. So if any listeners are out there and they can find me a copy of Gothic Romances, ungraded, in the VG area, something that I can actually afford, that's not a grand. There's things that I would pay a grand for, like the first appearance of the Punisher, or over, Wolverine or something like that. But I don't want to spend a grand on Gothic Romances to complete a dead universe. I really want to complete it though. I really, really, really do. But thank you, Kirk, Spencer, for hooking me up with the name because I just couldn't remember in my brain. What that was, and hopefully, if everything goes right, I'll record another episode on Friday and be talking about Advanced Comics because I could spend a lot of time in there just talking about the contents of that magazine. And I've been getting more Wizards, and the thing that's amazing is there were so many comic magazines at that time, There was a magazine called Venture Magazine, which was like a speculator magazine, and it claimed to be better than Wizard and Heroes Illustrated as for an Overstreet, because Overstreet had a magazine. It wasn't just a price guide, it was Overstreet Monthly Magazine. I still have a couple of those copies lying around somewhere, but I need to acquire some more. But anyway, Kirk said that, and I ha props to him for doing that. And then also I'd taken pictures of comics that I recently bought, and he said check out the letters pages on GI Combat 267. So I kind of suspected it would be a letter from him, and there was a letter from him. And if you all listen to me regularly, I did a collector's corner segment with Kirk, and we hit it off really well. I can tell when somebody's like as passionate about stuff as I am, and he's really passionate, especially about war books. Like he's way more passionate than I could ever be, and there's probably a damn good reason for why he is, and it's in this letter. He wrote, he says, "I have been reading GI Combat since he was 3 1/4 years old. My grandmother taught me to read with your magazine." And it says Penn's Kirk Spencer, Putney, Georgia. She still likes to read the new issues. And then the editor said, "She obviously did a great job. Give your grandma a hug from us." So that was really cool, man. Love you, Kirk, and that is awesome. I'm glad you shared it with me. It means a lot to me that I have one of my friends' letters in a comic book. It's really cool. I have a lot of friends that have contemporary letters. Especially, I have most of them because I buy almost every new comic that comes out, so chances are I have your letter. But so I don't have all these comics in order, but what I want to do is I want to go through what happened. So this week I had 5 packages at the door. So there was a package from Aaron Myers, which I bought some stuff from. There was a package from Drew. There was an Advance Comics. My second one came in. This was all yesterday. So that was 3. I had a new DCBS order shipment. That one I had holded at UPS for me, so I picked it up a day late. I was gonna pick it up on the day that it was supposed to pick it up, but I didn't get out of work until like 8 o'clock, and the place closed at 6:30, so it was a really long day at work. That day was all right because that was the first day I worked like a long ass day, and I was sick, but I felt started to know that if I could put a 10-hour day in, I'm starting to feel better. Which was it was a good day, 'cause I hate being sick, man. I'd rather work 15-hour day than sit home and be awful. And when I get sick, I can't really like do much because I like zone in and zone out. So I can't really read a comic book. I'll like pass out. I can't really focus on it. I can't really watch a program that I need to invest a significant amount of time on. But anyway, I'm gonna talk about some books that I purchased. And some of these will sound familiar to you because I mentioned them in a previous Mike M's Weekly Reads. So I was going over an old Wizard magazine, I think in last episode or the one prior to that, and it was Punisher Microchip, and I'm like. Well, first of all, I was looking at the top 100 for like 1994, or maybe it was 1993, and I was like, man, I own 90% of these comics. Why don't I own these other, 10? So there was a handful in that I was really interested in, and I saw this Punisher, The Origin of Microchip was in the top 100, and I'm like, man, a 2-issue series about Microchip, a guy that's been, a pivotal character in the Punisher lore, and I've been trying to get all the Punisher comics. I bought it. I bought issue 1 and 2. That one came from mycomicshop.com. That was the other box that was there. So that was a mycomicshop.com, and then 5th was the DCBS. So I had over 35, maybe 40 comics in one day, and that doesn't include the other Kickstarters and eBay stuff that came in like a couple days earlier. But inside of that package or that last Wizard magazine, I saw an advertisement. Or maybe it was in the top 100 for Savage Hulk number 1. It was a Marvel Edge special. So I picked that up. Let's see if it's the right year. Well, maybe it was that. I don't know if it was that or Cutting Edge Hulk. Because I started scrounging around and I'm trying to complete my Hulk run, and I have most a lot of it, but I don't have a lot of these one shots. So I picked up Cutting Edge Hulk number one, and Sav. Oh, I remember how I found one of these, or both of them. I think I found them inside of an Epic collection. Not, it wasn't in the Wizard magazine. So I was thumbing through the last Hulk. Which had a lot of Peter David comics, and I ran across one of these, e either Savage Hulk or the Cutting Edge Hulk, and it had Peter David writing it. And I said, "Shit, I gotta pick that up." So that's how I did that, thumbing through an Epic collection. I then picked up Amazing Spider-Man 432, and I can't explain why I got two versions of it, but I got cover A and cover B, and cover. I don't usually get signed books, and I think it was just such a good deal, and it was a signature series with the Lone Star certificate in the back. But it had two creators in there that I absolutely love. Tom DeFalco, I've talked about him on this program, is probably one of my greatest comic book writers. He has the storytelling ability that he like slices it these type of stories into like. One part of the story is ending, one part is in the middle, and one part is beginning. And I love that way he introduces comics, 'cause one thread will end, one is beginning, and then he leaves you like a cliffhanger. He makes you want to come back for more. So I picked up cover A and B. This was a signature one. It probably enticed me to have a Tom DeFalco piece, and that's what I did. I also, oh, this next book I picked up from Aaron Myers. I go to his site a lot, and I saw the What If Conan the Barbarian had walked the earth today. Plus, I knew it was a speculator book because of Conan's going to appear in Modern Times in the Avengers, the sequel to No Surrender, and this book is kind of like. It's amazing how many what if comics have inspired real storytelling. Have inspired so much. What if Spider-Man joined the FF? It happened. What if Jane Foster became Thor? It happened. So a lot of these things happened, and they become big and popular storylines. I then saw that he, so Aaron Myers had Peter Porker the Spectacular Spider-Ham number one. I knew that I wanted that. I knew it wasn't his first appearance. I knew it was Marvel Tales, spelled Tails, featuring Spectacular Spider-Ham. A matter of fact, I called my brother because I know my brother used to buy. Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, and I said, I'll give you whatever value the thing's worth, because I don't mind. I'd prefer to pay my brother full value of something, to get the comic book, even if it's beat up, because, he can do whatever he wants with that money, but I'd rather have him have it. But he's still looking. So there may be a way I'm gonna get that Marvel Tales, 'cause I know that cover by heart, 'cause I remember my brother had it. I then bought the first appearance of Dazzler, and God, I can't remember if this was one. I think this one came from the mycomicshop.com. Yep, and I've always dug Dazzler. I have her full series. I think I have all of her series, even the minis that she's had. And but I didn't have the her first appearance, and I thought it was a key. It was a good book to get. The next book I thought I actually misread, and but I'm glad I got it anyway. I think it's the third appearance of Emma Frost. It's not the first. And Emma Frost is one of my favorites. But this is issue 131. I think it's her third or second appearance. Not her first, so I still have to seek her first one out. I picked up a really, really good copy from Aaron Myers of Uncanny X-Men 121. And this is a first appearance as well. It's the first appearance of Alpha Flight. Very key issue. The next one is a big issue. I've kind of lost. I lost the ball on this one many years ago. I was working on a good run of Brave and the Bold, and I picked up the second appearance of Metamorpho, and I always wanted the first, and I sort of just dropped the ball and sort of forgot. And then my buddy Rob gets in there and he goes, "Look what I got. Look what I got." And I'm like, "Damn, that's a really nice copy that you got there of Metamorpho. The Element Man. It's Brave and the Bold, number 57. It's his first appearance, and I ended up picking it up. I bought a fine copy of it. It's 5.5. I like the shape of it. It's perfect condition to me. I was really pleased with picking up that. I got that from mycomicshop.com. I then picked up The Pit, number 20, okay? I think this was the last one I needed, but you know what? We're gonna do this live. We are gonna go to my comic book database, and we're gonna type The Pit, and we're gonna check it out. PITT. And I may have completed this, and you're gonna hear it live if I did. No, I haven't. So I got number 20, which is the final issue of Pit, but I still need to track down 18 and 12. And then I'll have a full run of this guy. But I'm glad I looked that up because I need to go seek that out. I then talked about this on Twitter. I said, "Man, I'm hungry for some Mr. T and the T Force." And going to that Wizard magazine and looking at Now Comics, a comic publisher that I was fond of at the time, mostly because of Married with Children. I loved that comic book. And that was one of my favorite shows. I loved Married with Children when, around that time period. But I wanted from 1993 Mr. T and the T Force. So I didn't get a full run, but I picked up issue 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 9. And I don't know why I picked 9, because usually I would have done 6 before 9. Maybe they didn't have it. I don't know. I then picked up from another publisher, which I don't even know who, apcomics.com. I thought it was Marcosia, but it's AP Comic, and it's Mr. T number 1 and 2. So it's a publisher I didn't even know about. And because I wasn't a Mr. T kick, I said, "What the hell? I want Marvel's rendition of the A-Team." I bought the A-Team issues 1 through 3. So how about that? When I was in, and those were all from mycomicshop.com, okay? When I was in that Wizard magazine and I was looking at the top 100, I saw an Image book that I forgot I even existed. It was Stupid number 1, and it's kind of like the not brand Eck of Marvel, or their crazy magazine. And it's their Image version of it. Stupid has Spawn on the cover. I wanted it. This one here is a flip book, and I think I ordered it twice because I have a bad habit of these damn flip books, where I record it in the database on one flip side, but I file it under the one cover, like in this case, Solitaire, but I didn't follow it, file it under, Prime. So I thought I had all of the Ultraverses. I did have all the Ultraverses. I had just flipped the book, but now I have two covers, so I could file it with Prime and I could file it with Solitaire. So there you go. I was also going through Every now and then I get this real urge just to look at where I'm at in my collection, and I'll just start browsing things randomly, and I'm like, Justice League, where am I? And I already achieved my goal of every Justice League since 1973, including every single comic book incarnation of the Justice League. What that means is, like, I have full runs of Justice League Europe, Justice League Task Force, Justice Extreme Justice, all that stuff. Justice League International, Justice League of America, Justice League America, all the different incarnations, even Volume 1. And I kind of put that goal to do 1973, but I've been cheating a lot. I like, fuck that 1973 date. Let's go deeper. Let's get more. So I picked up Justice League number 76. And it looks like it's a giant size 25-cent issue. And in this one it says these are reprints, I know, 'cause I have the original covers. But it's got three Superman pointing to a cover I remember fondly when they're in the Funhouse mirrors, and it's got like the Justice League in front of them and they look weird. And Superman's saying, "This is the tragic beginning," and then Batman's pointing to it and he says, "And we dare not tell you the terrible ending." And then it says, "Plus, who are the seven soldiers of victory?" That's a cool Justice League. And then on my the Batmans, I don't have everything since 1973. They're a little more expensive. I'm getting very close. I'm probably less than a I'd say a half a dozen on Detective and Batman, but I was missing Batman 265, so I picked that up. This has Batman kind of like swinging and the guy trying to jump on top of him, and then it's got a deformed guy, and he's saying, "Yes, Batman, I'm a murderer, and here comes my weapon. Kill him, Brutus." Batman's greatest failure. This was the same time I was looking at my Justice League collection, and I was like, "Man, I have a really good run of Green Lantern and every incarnation of it, except for the first one. Green Lantern Volume 1 is Alan Scott, and I don't have any Alan Scott issues. I've had some in my hands that I've been tempted to buy for a couple $100. Not in issue one, obviously, but ones later in the run that are somewhat affordable in the couple hundreds, in VG or less condition. But I'm so close to completing volume one of Green Lantern, not including the showcases, of course. So I picked up issue 34. This is a awesome looking cover. It has Green Lantern fighting a lizard, a giant lizard, that's shooting a yellow thing from his tail. And Green Lantern is saying, "Those hoops of sizzling energy leaping from the giant iguana's tail, paralyzing me, preventing me from fighting back with my power ring." And then it says, "A power charged novel, three-way attack against Green Lantern." I then picked up Green Lantern 33, which has him fighting Dr. Light on the cover. That's a 12-cent issue. Another 12-cent issue of Green Lantern. This is a beautiful cover. It looks like Gil Kane cover. It says, "You crazy." It's got Hal Jordan, and it says, "You crazy fool. Your abuse of green power destroyed every person on Earth." And you see him saying that to Alan Scott. So that's pretty awesome. Another 12-cent comic. Then we got into a 15-cent comic, Green Lantern number 70. It's a 15-cent comic. It's got a real strange, skinny, alien-looking dude, and he's saying, "But I only wanted to make him laugh, not die." It looks like he killed Green Lantern, and it's a Gil Kane cover. We then have Green Lantern number 71, and he's basically saying, "I'm the most powerful man on Earth, yet I'm powerless to save the city from dying." We have Green Lantern number 75. Green Lantern, it looks like he's has Kord on one side and Earth on the other side, and he says, "I can't stop the collision. Earth will die." So that was all the Green Lanterns. I'll have to assess the situation. I think I'm still missing one Green Lantern, Green Arrow. And I keep ordering it. It's just that every time I miss the punch on it for the condition and one that I want. And I usually want that to be fine or higher. So I usually won't go less than fine for anything greater than a 12 cent issue. But if it's a 12 cent issue, sometimes I'll get into the VGs depending on what's going on. So then we get into the Sergeant Rock specials. I picked up Sergeant Rock special number one, number two. These were just ones that I was missing. Number eight, number 11, number 12, and I think I'm only missing like three now of Sergeant Rock specials because my last shipment had that from mycomicshop.com. I then got Sergeant Rock number 304. This has a guy and it looks like he's gonna kill a businessman and he's like, "Get out of my way, Rock. He's my brother, but I'm gonna kill him." And he says, "You'll have to get to me first." And it says conclusion, Azio, the bloodbath. We have Sergeant Rock 311, which has Nazis looking for Sergeant Rock, and it Soldaten over here. I thought I heard a noise, and he looks like he's protecting a woman, and he's got some dynamite, and it just lit it. So we'll see what Rock does. We have Sergeant Rock 312, and this is Rock on top of a Jeep, looks like, or tank, and it looks like Nazis or and Easy Company are all below there, and they're all passed out. And he says, "We made it easy. No name Hill, no name Hill is ours." We have Sergeant Rock 313, and Sergeant Rock saying to this guy on the Jeep, take off before one of those shells lands on your head." He says, "No, I ain't leaving, Joey." Joe Kubert. We have Sergeant Rock 314, and it's a Fogman, and it says, "If this Nazi Frogman stops, the easy guys in the sub are goners." So he has to fight Frogman. We have Sergeant Rock number 315. And it just has a bunch of action scenes. It has Cloud to fight bandits ahead. Stuart to crew, let's scram. It's like the Haunted Tank. Storm to battle wagon ditch, which is Captain Storm. So it looks like we have Cloud, which is a loser. Captain Storm, who's a loser. And then Stuart, who's on the Haunted Tank. And then it has Sergeant Rock firing his machine gun in the middle. I then am very close to completing Marvel 2-in-1. I think I'm missing like 1, 3, and 4 maybe. So that'll be my next purchase. It's just that number 1's a little expensive. I picked up number 5, and you got to remember I got most of my collection from Reed. These are ones that he didn't have. I got 5, number 47, Annual number 2, which I think is a key. I really do. It has Thanos on the cover, but I'm gonna have to look it up real quick. Marvel 2-in-1, Annual number 2, and it's the first appearance of the Champion of the Universe, first appearance of Lord Chaos. First appearance of Master Order, the death of Thanos, death of Warlock. So it's a pretty important issue. And I've seen it like on market reports, so I knew it was going to be quite expensive. And then also picked up Annual 3, so that completed my annuals for Marvel 2-in-1. And the only ones that I'm missing is issue 1. Wow. So with this procurement, I only have to attack number 1, so that'll be in my next shipment. And hopefully I'll get that for like $60 or so, because that's what my database says it's worth. Which is real conservative, by the way. It's more than that, probably. I then was looking at Topps Comics. And more specifically, I love that Kirbyverse, and I saw there was a Satan 6. I own the original Satan 6, but I didn't own a title called Satan 6 Hellspawn. So I picked up the 3 issues of Satan 6 Hellspawn. I do want to own all the Topps Kirbyverse stuff. And then get into GI Combat number 268, which is one of those dollar thick ones. And then we have 267, a really cool cover. We have 269, 272 GI Combat, 275, 278, 288. And I think what that does is it gives me like a full continuous run, but I still got a long way to go on my War Comics. And then you probably don't care about this, but I picked up some books that I accidentally didn't order. Lodger number one from IDW, Crowded number one from Image Comics. I had missed ordering Marvel Knights number two. I think it's because there were two solicited that month, and I only selected number one. I found out I was missing a couple of Ice Cream Men. I for just didn't fat fingered the click button, and I had to pick up number 5 and 8. So get Doctor. Well, that actually completes what I got. Well, not everything, because there was a couple magazines. Let me get into those real quick, and then I'm gonna wrap this one up because I want to read a comic before bed. And I just gotta find out where I put them. Oh yeah. So also from Aaron Myers, I picked up. I've been into Marvel magazines lately, and he had Marvel Super Special Magazine, full color Star Lord, number 10, and it has a really awesome cover. I then picked up the final magazine of Doc Savage that was a Marvel released magazine, and this was from 1975, and it was number 8. It was the final issue. I then got the first appearance of the New Mutants, which was in Marvel graphic novel number 4. And for those of you listening to the show, know that I've been trying to complete Marvel graphic novel. This gets me very close. I'm like 3 issues awake from completing that proper series. Now, that doesn't mean I have every Marvel graphic novel original content. It means that I have every Marvel graphic numbered novel, and I still have some that are outside of it. I then got a CGC copy of another key issue. It's X-Men number 99, and this is the first appearance of Black Tom Cassidy. And they're fighting the Sentinels. And it has them in space fighting a Sentinel. Banshee, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Cyclops, and Storm. And Cyclops says, "Even if we escape the energy spheres of the Sentinels, how can we survive the vacuum of space?" So that I think that sort of wraps up. And the Kickstarter I got was Road Trip number one. And then, like I said, the Advance Comics. And I think that's it. Yeah, that should be it. And then the rest is just my DCBS order. So, and I was able to go to Target and pick up the Primal Age comic and absolutely loved it. I read it right away. It was all original content. It was like the superheroes in a He-Man universe world, and it had like Louise Simonson. It had Jerry Ordway writing and drawing an issue. It had God, just so many great creators on that book. It was so much fun. I had a lot of fun with it. And also at Walmart, I picked the number 7s up, and like I said, Drew hooked me up with the Superman. And I didn't think like the scenes were as brutal as people made them out to be on the internet. Like I can see it being like, I don't want my kid to be reading this Walmart book, but it's not that far off from what you see in some Bronze Age craziness. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit darker, but it's not too dark. I mean, in the 70s they let us kids read some drug issues and intense issues, people getting beat to death and stuff like that, and I don't know. I wouldn't want a 5-year-old reading this story, but I think it's fine for like a teenager for sure. I don't think they're. I think they've seen worse on TV. But anyway, I think that's all I want to cover. There's so much to talk about because I've missed so many days. A lot of things happening on the Slack channel that I'm a part of. A lot of people discussing about cutbacks and like what's going on. And there was a Brian Hibbs article that talked about his shop not doing good, and that was interesting, and just general discussions about how new comic books are not selling very well. But it seems like a lot of comic book shops, their bread and butter right now is back issues. Now you can see I purchased a bunch of them. So I even think Mile High, he was complaining about new issues. So you have Brian Hibbs, Chuck from Mile High, saying that new issues just aren't selling like they used to. But his back issue had a record December, so maybe people are shifting back to older issues. Maybe they're finding more joy and pleasure in the older issues. So that's an interesting trend. He also blamed Donald Trump, but he really didn't give details. But, like if I had to guess, you could say that his sanctions against China and all that stuff is affecting people, even farming. And if there's a lot of farmers that collect comic books, maybe they can't go to the shop anymore because they're not making as much money. And then the stock market crashed. It went to like an all-time low a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was right before Christmas. So there could be that. People have their 401ks and they're a little worried, or maybe they're investing live. And if they're in long-term investment, you shouldn't worry though. Just leave it there because you're buying more. You're buying more at a lower cost. Instead of buying things at $100 a share, you're buying it for less. So people don't look at it like that though. They panic and they start shifting things around. Yeah, I can't remember all the different things that I wanted to talk about, but those are some things that I wanted to mention. The Alterna and Martin talked about this on his episode of Comic Talk today about Alterna offering a way to print your books, and that could look promising if I ever get this Guesser off the ground. It's kind of like something I've always wanted to do, and I don't know if I'll ever do anything after that. I want to do my Guesser and First and Ah. Once I'm done with those, I might just retire right off into the sunset. But I want to do it. Like I want to go through the process of doing that, and I want to find time to spend on that. The other thing is we are going to see 2E2, so if you want to hook up with me, make sure you let me know on Twitter is probably the best bet. We will be there for a long week, and hopefully the weather isn't like what it is right now, which is minus 20 below zero or something like that. Crazy wind chill factors. Hopefully the weather has calmed down by then and we have a good vacation. So check that out. I'll be back probably in another day with the weekly reads because I'll probably break this up, and I'll probably knock out like 2 weeks just to help me get up where I wanted to where I wanted to be, and I've fallen behind, and had a really low reading week, especially the week that I was really sick. So yeah, and one of the things I want to get into at some point is the TKO. I want to read some of those, and I already read the issue ones, but I want to read the trades, see how those stories panned out. My experience with them has been really, really good. I'm looking forward to the next batch of comics. And like I said, next episode I'll probably be breaking down some advanced comics, so we could talk about like what was going on in 1994. I love comics. I love comic magazines. I love talking about comics. It just brings me so much peace. It really, really, really does. And more than any other medium. So I will be back with some of the weekly reads, and we'll talk to you very soon. I'm going to bed early. It's I don't know, 9:30. I still haven't like gotten my sleep schedule in tune with what it should be since I've been sick. 'Cause I was like sleeping 1 hour, waking up for two, sleeping 2 hours, waking up for one. Just off and on, not really getting a lot of sleep, and it's still like that. Last night I had a rough night. I got up at 4:30 and pretty much stayed up continuously since then, and I'm pretty exhausted, so I'm going to hit the hay. I'm really happy to know that I only have one more issue of Marvel 2 and 1 to complete, and that's issue 1. That makes me very, very happy, and I want to get these entered into the database for sure. But I know what my next one of my next purchases and. I'm also, like I told you, I will be talking about a lot of Marvel 2-in-1s because that deal's going through in February for me, and then I'm going to be hitting up on some X-Men. So X-Men and Cap, I think, are the next two things I'm going to be hitting up from Reed's collection. And make sure to check out Geek Brunch Retro. I'm going to have to check it out. I don't usually listen to my own podcast, but this is one that Chris Ivey and Rob Krieger recorded on their own. I wasn't available. Why wasn't I available? I was in Boulder visiting, celebrating my ne nephew's birthday, and we had spent the night there. So I wasn't able to record on Sunday. And with my buddies, but they recorded, and I look forward to checking that out. Hopefully tomorrow the weather is getting better, and I can walk Harley for our normal ma 1.2 miles, and get that podcast listened to. So you can check that out on geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's where you can get the Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner, which is coming back. Don't worry. I'm kind of constrained for time right now, but it will happen. There'll probably be only four episodes this year, maybe five, but I am gonna make that come back. So you have patience. It's not gone anywhere. So you have Geek Brunch Retro. So I will talk to you again soon. And oh, the other thing, we're talking about, Hibbs talking about how Trump, maybe the sanctions are affecting things. Maybe his government shut down, and he claimed credit for that on live TV. He said, "Yeah, I'll shut the government down and take the blame." And then the next day that it happened, he goes back on that. Of course, he doesn't remember a damn thing he says. So he could have be affect. People weren't getting a paycheck for 3+ weeks. That's obviously going to affect things, 'cause you're gonna spend less on entertainment and maybe focus. Hey, I need to eat. I need to focus on the things that I absolutely need to survive. and food and etc. So that could affect, how people are buying comics, and yeah, there's just a lot of different things. Stock market, that plus the sanctions. So there could be a lot of things affecting people, plus just the overall morale of the country. I personally haven't seen it this low in a long, long time. And he definitely divides the country up. He's polarizing. So there's like no common ground anymore, and just people thinking about different things probably than other than wanting to read comics. And then comics reflect the time that things are happening. So you're not necessarily escaping if things are contrived as bad. You're gonna read that anyway. So yeah, there's just a lot going on, but it's not hit. I'm not hiding anything. I really think Trump is the dumbest president we've ever had in history. I really don't think he respects anybody's opinion but his own. I think he doesn't even want to listen to fact. He doesn't want to listen to knowledge of his own staff and people that know that there are threats. He just makes up his own shit, and then lies about it. He'll be say something one day, and then the next day tweets the complete opposite. So yeah, he's I hope he doesn't get reelected. That I'd be very happy. And I voted Republican, Democrat in the past. I just think that I would never vote for a billionaire ever again. I just think they don't live. They haven't experienced what a lot of other people have experienced, and they're just, it's like that spoiled kid, they don't know how to say no or how to reason or anything. And yeah, that's enough politics. I will be back with Mike M's Weekly Reads, and we'll talk to you again soon. And buy some comics, even if you don't like what's currently out there. That's what Brian Hibbs blamed is the big two. Well, actually, he blamed the three. So that'd be DC, Marvel, and Image, of course. I think Marvel is putting out really strong product. I think DC has diversified their line quite a bit, and it's one of those phases where I don't think they're really caring too much about continuity, and that may piss people off. But I think they're trying a lot of new things, and I think it's an exciting time. But maybe I'm a little jaded because, like, I'll always love DC. I'll never shy away from saying that. I don't think that what they're doing is bad. I prefer things more like respecting continuity, but the stories are very strong, so I'm happy, even though everything is so different. We'll see how things pan out with DC, and then Image. I've noticed they've stopped putting out a lot of number ones lately, so we'll see what happens with them. But that's all my mumbling. I'm getting sleepy. I will talk to you very, very soon, and we'll be back with Mike M's weekly reads. Like I said, take care and peace out. Welcome back to Mike M's weekly reads, and this I'm going to talk about comics if I can find them, and it should be quick because I think these 2 weeks I didn't read a lot. This is the week of January 7th through January 13th of 2019. Again, the scores are 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, I did not like it. 1, I hated it. So we had only a total of 17 comics that week. We had four Marvel, four Image, four DC, and one IDW. I think this is a Geek Brunch week. I read most of these for Geek Brunch. Didn't get a chance to read a lot. It was coming back to work off the holidays, and there was a lot going on. But we'll start with the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. This is a story that started off much stronger than it finished. It is the She-Hulk 161 legacy numbering. This started off as the title The Hulk, with actually She-Hulk. It happened after the Hulk died when Hawkeye shot him. And she was going through a lot of trauma and dealing with her fight with Thanos and losing her cousin. And she was actually gray-skinned Hulk and turning more into a monster than, She-Hulk is usually She-Hulk is in her prime and rather be She-Hulk than Jennifer Walters, and things had changed after that event. And this is where a woman who got the woman that was her obsessed follower turned out that she hulked out because she was obsessed with She-Hulk, and the leader got a hold of her and gave her some She-Hulk powers, and they ended up fighting, and she fought the leader, and the leader was defeated. It was kind of a weak ending to a really strong start, I thought, but I still enjoyed it. I didn't hate it or anything. I just liked it. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. I gave this a 4 out of 5, but the more and more I think about what this represents, it could potentially go into the 5 out of 5s. But I'm gonna stick with my gut. It was Barrier 2 through 5. I think I read this at the right time. I was glad that I read them back to back to back to back. It started off with, two characters from the border. One was trying to cross into the United States, and one was on her farmland and worried about the drug trafficking and them killing her animals. And what happens is they both get abducted by aliens. One is trying to come across the border, and the other is trying to defend her land, and is an experiment in language differences and our ability to communicate when we don't know each other's native tongue. And it turned out to be really fascinating because when the guy was speaking, it was obviously in Spanish, and when the girl was speaking, it was in English, and when the aliens were speaking, it was in their own little language until they were assimilating their languages. And it kind of ended up. The irony of the situation is, they got beamed to the planet. They had to work together to try to communicate, even though they didn't understand each other's language. And when they did escape and got back to Earth, they ended up in a Muslim nation where they were thought of as, villains, in the area. And, again, it was another experiment in language because they couldn't communicate with the Muslim language. So, yeah, it was really interesting, really interesting. The next one is an IDW book. It's called Night Moves. An older man tells a kid the story of a picture. He goes to this older man's house, and I guess he always gets like a story told to him. He's a pretty fascinating guy. And this time the kid's like, "Yeah, I don't want to hear your story in particular, but I want to understand why you have this picture of a woman." And he doesn't really want to get into it because he obviously cares about the woman. And it is a story about his greatest love. And he starts telling the story. It's about a CIA agent that goes to a bar, and they are attacked by priests, which is really weird, trying to get into the back room. The back room has many bodies that are alive, but they seem to be soulless. They go look for the Native American woman who knows a little bit more about what is going on. This leads them to a church with a priest and even more dead bodies. And it's kind of a mystery, and the characters are all compelling, and I really enjoyed it. Then get into a Vertigo book. It's Hex Wives number 2, which focuses on Iz and her husband. He is acting really weird. She keeps hearing things in the wall, and there's some strange sex scene, and I even had to like hand this off to my wife and see what's happening here. But where it looks like they're having sex, but then he says he pulls out, but it's almost like there was no penetration or anything, and he never, did it. And I didn't know if it was because this guy feels guilty because he's essentially like raping this girl because she is a witch, and they basically took all these witches and brainwashed them to thinking they were their wives, and I really didn't know what was going on. And then the next day she wants to go with him golfing, but he never wants that to happen, so it doesn't happen. He then has like an intimate moment where he apologizes for how he treats her. She goes over to her friend's house for the day. Seems like they're figuring stuff out, like they're getting close to figuring out what's happening with their husbands and why things are so weird. She traces the scratching in the wall. She keeps hearing scratching in the wall to this creepy old witch lady at the end of the issue. I really am enjoying this series, even when I'm confused. I just find it really fascinating. And that scene was really weird. This guy is creepy. And it's such a weird like situation. The next one is cover number one. This is from the Bendis Jinx World imprint. It's an FBI agent goes to a convention to recruit a creator to become an undercover agent, and he's a comic artist slash writer. He writes his art. It's really a great experimentation in different art styles and comics within comics, if that makes any sense. Because it's like a CIA adventure story that involves the comic culture. It's really a fascinating book. I really liked it. I then went to Marvel Unlimited, and I own this book in print as well as a hardcover deluxe format. Runaways. I have been enjoying the hell out of the TV series. I'm like in Runaways season 2, episode 8, roughly. And I wanted to go revisit a book I hadn't read away, hadn't read in a while, and it's Runaways 1 through 3. I love the series, but now that I was reading it, I realized how that show took it to the next level and made it even better. There was way more backstory on the parents, and the actors are so much better than the parents in the comic. There's so much more dimension to them, and it really is fascinating to see all the changes that were made. And I think every change that they did make in the TV show was for the better, in my opinion. There wasn't anything that stood out. Like, I wish they would have done that in the com, you know, like they did it in the comic book. So that was a lot of fun to read that. The next 4 out of 5 has gotten better for me. I don't know. I still feel that there are aspects of the book that I don't like, but the positives really outweigh the negatives for me, and that's Heroes in Crisis number 4. So for this particular issue, it focuses on Booster Gold and Blue Beetle as Beetle convinces him to escape to find out who murdered everyone at Sanctuary. Batgirl goes after Harley to help her, and Donna Troy is dealing with losing both of her friends, Roy and Wally. Wonder Woman is really pissed that Harley and Booster got away and drops the penny at the Batcave, which is really cool because she's just angry as hell. And Batman's really mad in this book too, and they're in the Batcave. Lois finds the tapes and has a source that is giving her information about Sanctuary. She tells Clark, who later tells Batman and Wonder Woman, and they are both pissed about the whole situation because no way do they want this story to get out. Lois is going to release the tapes, which does not make sense to me because she knows the damaging effect it can have on these characters, and that's the part of the book that I really struggled with. It shows Batgirl dealing with the bullet, and it could reveal her identity, but Lois doesn't seem to care. And I don't know if I read too much into it, because on the very last page, it kind of shows the article that Lois released, and I took it very literally, and I don't know if she was, like, withholding some of the videotapes pending on, you know, like, her first view and didn't want to release certain information about them. That could be damaging to their identities or to their character. And that bothered me, but now that I read 5, it doesn't really bother me anymore. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the characterization reunion between Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. I like that Batgirl is defending Harlequin in this whole situation. I love the Batcave scene where they're just pissed off and Wonder Woman's throwing the penny around. There was a lot to like in this issue for me personally. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. American Carnage, number 1. This is a Vertigo series. An FBI agent has to testify why there are three dead bodies as she was trying to find a white supremacist who killed her partner. And the three dead bodies were a woman, a child, and the husband. She has to recruit another agent who was let go because he accidentally killed a kid. And he's to go undercover to find out if this famous speaker slash writer is supporting the white supremacist group. And he does find out that he is. But it's a very interesting story. She was really attached to her first partner. Her first partner was hung very much in, you know, a style of like a white supremacist act. And she didn't wait for backup and she invaded this home. And that's why she was sort of being questioned and on trial, because they didn't know if she was like doing everything out of protocol emotionally to get vengeance for her dead partner. Really good series, 5 out of 5. So the 5 out of 5 that week was the Vertigo series, American Carnage, number 1. We then get into January 14th through January 20th. This one, there were only 9 books read this week. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have The Unstoppable Gwenpool, number 14. This was the lowest I ranked a particular issue of Gwenpool. But Gwenpool is now trying to save her ghost friend with the help of her witch teammate. And I can never remember that witch teammate's name. They end up in Ghost Rider's trunk. And this is the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider. And has an adventure with the female Hawkeye. So it was interesting, but it wasn't as good as the previous issues. We then get into She-Hulk 162, where Jennifer goes to see her psychiatrist for help. She manages to come out of a hypnosis healing and is no longer the gray-skinned monster. She's now green again. She basically consults the monster under hypnosis and Bruce in her actual therapy. So she comes out of this situation a little bit better, a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit more like herself. We then get into the last 3 out of 5, which is JLA number 77. This is the Monkey and Joe Kelly run, continuing this run with for DC Spotlight with Kyle. And I've been really enjoying this. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of peer pressuring him, I think, to keep going as much as we can on this, because I'm enjoying this series so much. But this particular issue was not a Joe Kelly run. I can't remember who wrote it. Veach, I think it's Veach. And it was still a good solid story, and very much in the vein of what they've been doing, but it is basically an AI being that is destroying worlds and consuming them and consuming their memories. And he has like black hole technology, and he just destroys this world. And now he's dealing with the Atom and the Justice League. So he sort of wipes the memories of most Justice League. Batman speaking like a baby, he can't remember anything. Just characters not caring, like Wonder Woman. Superman doesn't really know what's going on, but kind of saves the day with Adam. And Batman kind of leads to the saving of the day, even though he cannot speak. So it was an interesting story. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, which is JLA 78 and 79, where the team goes to prevent a war many light years away. Deals with whether the League is causing more harm than good on this planet, and find out that they're defeating the people who have a military advisor who's Kanja Ro. They manage to save the planet and the people from destroying, from being destroyed by releasing Faith, which she's pretty powerful. And we do find out in this issue that Batman's been dealing with the government about her, and the government's really pissed off at Batman for taking her away from the government, because she was kind of a government-grown project for them. And Batman now has her under the Justice League, and the government is really pissed off about that, because she was a government weapon. This planet was under the protection of other planets, but they seceded. Succeeded, I don't know how to pronounce that word, when you succeed secede from like a country or a union, or yeah, I just don't know how to pronounce it. Secede. I kind of said it right then. The JLA uses footage to get the planet with Kanja Ro. Like, they record him, Superman and them record his conversation, and they broadcast it to the planet and then replay it back for the entire planet to show him that Kanja Ro really isn't a good person. He's a bad person. We then get into Conan the Barbarian number 2. This is the brand new series. Conan sent to a forest to take out the warrior Bix. The battle, they end up fighting these large ghost snakes, and Conan and the snakes take out a lot of picks. They're kind of all fighting each other, to tell you the truth. Conan seems to be hired to be taking out picks because they're affecting like the wealthy people that Conan's sort of working for. Now, the ghost snakes ended out like I think they ended up biting Conan. But he's saved by a Pick medicine man. Conan briefly joins the Picks to take out the ghost snakes and pay back the medicine man for saving his life. He returns home to find the two kids of the Crimson Witch biding their time to take Conan's blood. We then get into the last 4 out of 5. This was a series I didn't know what to expect by Steve Orlando, and I found out I really liked it. I really did like it because it's taking Martian Manhunter back to his roots as a detective. He has a really compelling detective partner. I really liked Riley Rossimo's art. I thought it was very appropriate for me for the tone of this book. They're investigating a murder of two parents. A fire breaks out, and Manhunter might have to reveal himself to his partner. It also shows that back on Mars, he may have been a corrupt cop hiding secrets from his wife. So there's that compelling statement. Like, is this a new element, like, of Martian Manhunter that we didn't know before, where he wasn't a good person? I look forward to the mystery. We then get into another DC comic, Shazam number 1. This is the re-release by Geoff Johns and Eaglesham, I believe, is the artist. Freddy and Billy are on tour at a museum when a bunch of crooks break in to rob it and take the patrons' money along with paintings and various guns that are in the museum. They turn to Shazam and call upon the rest of the family to take them out. They then go back home to the foster parents and have dinner. After dinner, they go to the subway through a secret passage in the closet. And then meanwhile, while this is all happening, after they've had dinner and they're in that subway, while their parents are downstairs, the doorbell rings and it's Billy's father. The backup shows how Mary's parents are, which they're really jerks, and she has to escape from them, and how she gets there into the foster home is basically escaping what I think are her real life parents, which are really not good people. It also introduces Mary to Freddy. It's got an anime type style backup, but it really worked. I thought it did. We then get into the top 5 out of 5, which is Freedom Fighters number 1. In the 60s, the Nazis have won the war, but the Freedom Fighters are fighting after losing Phantom Lady and the Ray, with Jesse Owens leading the team. And now you cut to the Nazis send in the Plastique Men. It's with two S's, and they capture the rest of them to be killed in front of a large audience of Nazis. 50 years later, a new group of freedom fighters are introduced to fight the Nazis. They look like they're possibly descendants of the original. And during this whole process, they are able to take out Uncle Sam, and Uncle Sam's powers are based on the faith of the country. So as the country is losing faith in spirit of America, he starts to learn, lose his powers, and sort of dissipate. But it looks like he's in this new world as well. And in this one, the doll woman is there. There's a new Black Condor, a human bomb, and I can't remember who the other one was. So really good. Robert Venditti knocking it out of the park, writing really strong books. Green Lantern, even though it's over, doing Damage. Working on Hawkman, which is one of the best books, and now Freedom Fighters. So he's been a really strong addition to the DC lineup, in my opinion, and has been really paying respect to the history of the characters while doing his sort of own thing in Hawkman and Freedom Fighters. So I really appreciate that. I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at any time on the Twitter machine at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can send me, that's actually my email. On the Twitter, it's Mike Myers Brunch. And you can send me questions or comments about the show at any time, and I will read them on this show. I still have queued up some questions from I think like half a dozen questions that I'll be going over in a future episode. And I think there were two of them that I really wanted to go into detail on. I also want to be covering in the future Advance Comics, which was the happening during the distributor wars from Capital to compete with a Diamond Distributor. And I have a couple of Advance Comics catalogs to go over and discuss comics around the 1994 time period. I hope you join me for that. And what else did I want to cover? So you got to look forward to that. There's going to be a new DC Spotlight. We're going to be covering more JLA and getting caught up with Brian Michael Bendis on the Superman and Action Comics books. So I hope you'll join us on the DC Spotlight. I am still unsure the next time we're going to do a geek brunch, but it might be this weekend. We'll see how that goes. And what else am I gonna talk about? Oh, I just rewatched Venom, by the way, and God, I like that movie. And the thing I think that really stands out to me is the relationship between the symbiote and Venom. Especially the voice of Venom. I really like it, and I really like how he talks to Eddie. And it makes for a really good movie. really entertaining. And I'm glad that it knocked it out of the park, because it looks like we're going to be seeing from Sony quite a few more Spider-Man movies, and like we did the animated one, which was fantastic. And I think we have Morbius kicked up, the vampire. So we'll see how all that turns out. So I gave you my email, my Twitter. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. I am going to C2E2, so if you will be there, let me know on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. And maybe we can hook up for a few minutes and have a chat. Bill Bomer will be there, and I hope Kyle will be there as well, because they're native, so they have no excuse. And I think Eric is going to be there from Cowabunga, so make sure to see Eric and Cowabunga and Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit, as well as my Nerdy Legion. I call them family, even though I'm not part of the family. I'm on the outside, sort of looking in, but they are my brothers in arms. They should be there. Most of the Nerdy Legion should be there. That's kind of their hub. Like Heroes Con was sort of the hub for DC Noise and Geek Brunch in prior conventions. So I think that's it. And I want to thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with another week of comics. And I haven't decided if I'm gonna do questions or if I'm gonna do the previous catalog, but we'll see how that all pans out. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. And thanks for bearing with my coughing and such in the previous episode.